those newspapers in truth? British intelligence, with the symbol we saw earlier. Hollinger Group has an interesting background. It was started by an elite aspect of British intelligence during the war called the Special Operations Executive, top people of which created the original CIA. They started this Special Operations Executive, a front organization during the war for covert purposes called War Supplies Limited. The two agents designated to run this scam, this front for British intelligence, were Edward Plunkett Taylor and George Montagu Black. After the war, they kept this going, but they had to change its name because it was called War Supplies Limited. They changed it to Argus. And more recently, they've changed it to Hollinger. The present head of Hollinger is Conrad Black, the son of George Montagu Black, that started the whole thing in train for the British intelligence elite Special Operations Executive. Conrad Black is not just a member of the Bilderberg Group, it's one of its inner core elite, and he hosted their meeting in 1996 at King City, Toronto. This is the hidden hand in the prison without the bars that's going on. And this is a wonderful one. I love this one. One of the great foundations of the manipulation of the planet has been through the money system. And if you follow these bloodlines from the ancient world to now, they keep playing the same scam, lending people money that doesn't exist and charging interest on it. And it means this: you get people, businesses, and countries up to their neck in debt, therefore control. People think that when they go to a bank, they're lending money, or they're borrowing money, rather. No, they're not. You go to a bank and you're asked to borrow $50,000. They don't create $50,000. They don't print it. They don't move precious metal anywhere. They type in your account $50,000. Because of laws passed by politicians controlled by the same people who control the banks, laws have been passed which allow banks to lend at least, and my God, it's at least 10 times what they have on deposit. So every time you put a dollar in a bank, you're giving it permission to lend at least 10 it doesn't have and charge people interest on it. It's what the national debt is. It's ludicrous. And this means this. The only difference, because people think that when you say to them, who creates money, they say, well, the government does. Money is absolutely overwhelmingly created by private banks lending non-existent money called credit. Now, there's one difference, and one difference only, between an economic boom when we have jobs, when we have abundance, when we have prosperity, materially anyway, and a depression when we have no jobs or massively fewer jobs, when we have poverty, when we have hunger, when we have need. That difference is the amount of money in circulation at the time. It's a funny thing, you know. It's amazing the things you kind of realize. Do you know, when there's an economic depression, it's not because people think, I don't want this nice house anymore, I'm going to live in the street. They're not created like that. People don't think, you know, I'm putting a bit of weight. I think I'm going to stop eating for a week. You know what I mean? This is not how it is. Depressions are created because there is not enough money in circulation for those purchases to be made. Who controls that? The private banks controlled by the same few families. And this is how the scam works, and it's been played for years. What I'm going to describe very briefly is what economic correspondents, you know, with smart suits and good wages and stuff, and reporting from the stock market, the casino. Yeah, I'd love that. I'd love to do a television program where you kind of did, you know, casino reports from Wall Street. You know, I'd do them from Las Vegas. They wouldn't see a difference. Hello, John. What's happening in Bellagio Casino today? Oh, well, blackjack seems very popular. A lot of people playing blackjack, and a lot of people playing poker over here. Yes, that's just what a report from Wall Street is, in truth. It's a casino. It's a game. It's nothing to do with people. Anyway, the way it works is this. The economic cycle is what I'm going to describe. Stage one, you put lots of money in circulation because you're making more and more loans and you're making more and more credit available. And it costs you any money. In fact, it's making you a fortune. You put credit out there. The more money in circulation, the more money people have to buy things. The more they buy, the more production is needed, the more people are employed. The more, and one of the things that happens when you're in one of those booms is people get confident. So they think, oh, you know, we've got lots of orders and things are great, so I haven't got the money, but I'm going to have a bigger house. I'll take on a bigger mortgage, and I'm going to have two holidays this year, and I'm going to have a bigger car. I know I can't afford it, I can't pay cash, but I'll borrow money, it'll be fine. People and businesses, they take on more debt because they want more plant and machinery and expansion to meet the demand caused by the expansion of money, credit in circulation. So what happens during a boom is people get into more debt. When you get a loan, you sign over as collateral real wealth, your house, your business, etc. So at an optimum point, the people that control the financial flows, i.e. the few, through the creation of money and through the stock market, etc., they start pulling the plug. One of the things they do during a boom is they push interest rates down, so they make loans cheaper so people are more likely to get them. What happens then is they start to change the economy, and I'm seeing signs of this in the world today. They start pushing interest rates up. They start putting inflation in the economy by pushing up oil and gas prices, which affect everything. And what they do is they slowly create a depression. The first stage is throwing the fishing rod out. They start pushing interest rates up, and they start withdrawing credit from circulation. This means there's less money in circulation. People can't buy so many things, so fewer jobs are needed. As fewer jobs are needed, people can't pay the loans and the interest on the loans that they've taken out. People start losing their homes. They start losing their businesses. And they start losing their jobs. And we start moving towards a depression. They're pulling out credit, money in circulation. It's now not enough to create the economic activity you had there. Now, as people go bankrupt and businesses go bankrupt and people lose their homes and everything, the banks take that wealth that does exist into their coffers. And what they've done is exchanged massive wealth that does exist for credit that cost them nothing. And what you see there with the fishing rod going out here during a depression is taking the fishing rod in. And this economic cycle, totally manipulated, of creating a boom, getting that situation, pulling the plug and reaping the rewards, has been played again and again over hundreds of years. It's being played today. And it has sucked the real wealth out of public circulation into the hands of the few. And it has left the masses with, in truth, worthless money and figures on a screen. And it coordinates with the tax system and all the other stuff. I saw this wonderful thing. I think we ought to do this, me. It's a Snoopy is saying, Dear Revenue Canada, I'm writing to you to cancel my prescription. Please remove my name from your mailing list. I think, no one wants to hear this, but I've got a great solution to the economic problems and national debt of the world. Jam jars. I'm serious, jam jars. We've got this program, it's a kids program in Britain called Blue Peter. And every year they have an appeal and you collect jam jars and like tops off milk bottles and they make money out of them and do very good things, good causes and stuff. But jam jars, we ought to have a Blue Peter jam jar appeal and collect all the jam jars and they have to be empty. And what we do, when we've got the jam jars together, we put the lids on, so trapping the air, right? And then what we do is we deliver the jam jars en masse to the banks and say, just paying back what we borrowed, and it's all over. I think we ought to do this. It's only fair. I believe in paying my debts back with what I've borrowed. So there we go. You have fresh air, darling, and sort that out. And ludicrous as that sounds and silly as that sounds, it is actually what we are in debt to. debt equals control. This is why this financial system is so important to the Illuminati. What? Oh, I know. It's terrible, isn't it? Have you had enough of that? No. Hey, what are we doing letting the world be controlled, you know, by this? I'll just finish this bit. I'll just finish this bit with a very quick demonstration of what I'm talking about with the one-party state. I'm just going to show very quickly, and this is just a selection. This is not the whole administrations who are members of these organizations. This is just a little selection. It's the last four American administrations, last five actually. Three have been Republican, two have been Democrat. And we're going to start with Jimmy Carter in 1976. He was a member of the Trilateral Commission, and he had an administration that was awash. I mean, it doesn't come great over the computer, but this says CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, and Trilateral Commission, TC. His administration between 1976 and 1980 was awash with members of these organizations. Here's another selection, the ambassadors. You can't become an ambassador in the United States without being a member of the Council on Foreign Relations today, a private organization. So you get to 1980 and you think, I'm in the land of the free, I'm fed up with that Jimmy Carter, I'm going to give the Republicans a go because that Ronald Reagan seems a nice man and he's different. Well, Ronald Reagan was a non-member, but he didn't have to be, he just read the autocue, Ron, didn't he? But he was a member of Bohemian Grove, the Knights of Malta, and other connections into the Illuminati. But look, his special advisors to NATO Security Council, David Rockefeller, Henry Kissinger. And now we have a different administration because it's now Republican, awash with members of the same organizations. You change the administration, but you don't change the coordinating force, which is why the agenda unfolds whoever's in government. So now we move from Reagan to George Bush. And he changed the administration, and again, same coordinating bodies, same again here and there. So you get to 1992. And just after he went to his first Bilderberg meeting, onto the scene came Bill Clinton, and he was a Democrat, very different to the Republicans apparently, and he said he stood for change. Well, he's got the full set, Bill, CFRTC Bilderberg Group, and his now Democratic administration, it says here, is awash with the same coordinating body of all the others. And this is how the prison without bars works. Right. Well, that's got this far. And I'm just going to now turn and start looking at what we can do about this, which is plenty, and just have a bit of a stretch break. I'm just going to play one song. It lasts 3 minutes, and then we'll get into what we can do about this. There you go. We can talk, and I have for a long time, about the way the world's manipulated, and we can talk about Bilderberg groups and secret societies and bloodlines and all that stuff, but in the end, the suppression that makes this manipulation possible and always has is the biggest suppression of all, the suppression of knowledge of who we are and the nature of life itself. Without that suppression, none of this would be possible. And that's why, through this historical period we've been talking about, the effort has been to destroy the ancient knowledge, to destroy those in the native peoples that have ancient knowledge about the nature of who we are, the fact that we are not ordinary men and women in the street, as we have been conditioned to believe. There's not an ordinary man, woman, child, blade of grass, breath of air, drop of rain in existence. There's just the extraordinary. We are extraordinary. We are genius waiting to remember we are genius. And when we remember, this is all over. That's where we're going. And if we want a world of harmony in which we don't see a person's skin as a manifestation of who he is, but the fact that he is eternal spirit, the same eternal spirit that I am. If we want a world of harmony between all races, all people, between us and other expressions of the divine in the animal kingdom and in the world of what we call nature, then we have a simple thing to do. Let's create it. Because the great knowledge that's been lost is that this world is just an illusion. It is a physical manifestation of us. When we have hatred and conflict and division within us, it must manifest as physical reality. If we change us, if we heal ourselves, we will heal the world. It cannot fail to be healed because it is an expression of us. And it's interesting when you look at some of the background. We talked about religions. But what about science or what passes for it? Again, we have two opposames here. We have apparently opposites who conflict with each other. Religion or science and all that stuff. But they have one key thing in common which the Illuminati will have orgasms over. They are both saying, one says, you are subject to some god, which is always a bloke, have you noticed? It's always a fella, you know. And he decides what happens to you. Science says, there is no bloke. Random accidents decide what happened to you, because you're just an accident of evolution that comes into consciousness for a few seconds or 100 years and then goes back to oblivion. Life's a bitch and then you die. You get letters after your name for coming up with this bloody nonsense. It must be a nice way to earn a living. But these are not opposites, they are opposames, because they both have this key point in common. They are both saying, you are not in control of your life. You are not in control of your destiny. Random accidents or some deity we invent is. And when we believe we are not in control of our destiny, we do not use the power we have to manifest the destiny we want. And that's the idea. The idea is to keep us in ignorance, multidimensional infinity, manifesting as a herd of sheeple. There is nobody stupid on this planet. There is nobody stupid in the whole of creation. But if we allow ourselves to be so mesmerized and conditioned by the manipulation that comes through the eyes and ears every day, at the same time we cut ourselves off from the full magnificence of infinity that we are, we can actually do wonderful impressions of people being flippin' stupid. This is what we've done. Now, we're told, because I read it somewhere, that we're the physical body. That's what we are. It's the physical body, you see. That's what we are. We're just physical. In fact, I would suggest, and metaphysics is increasingly confirming this, what this is a vehicle, a magnificent vehicle, for our eternal consciousness to experience this dimension of physical life. If our spirit did not take on an outer physical shell, we could not interact with this physical world. My consciousness, like all consciousness, is vibrating at a speed, at a frequency, which is beyond the physical senses, which are just a frequency range which allows us to observe this frequency we are experiencing. There are other frequencies, like all radio and television stations are sharing the same space that my body is now. They're not interfering with me, they're not interfering with each other unless they're very close in frequency, because they're sharing the same space, but they're in a completely different universe vibrationally. If my consciousness tried to experience this world,